Hi, this is Keith Wooden, and welcome to Story Mosaics. Hey, I told you a few weeks ago that we were going to be doing a short series called Uncommon Moms. And what I've realized is that there's no common mom out there. All of them have their own stories and their own way of having become moms and walked into motherhood. And sometimes these journeys have been filled with twists and turns. And so I'm so excited to have with us today a friend of mine, Becky White, with us today. And she's just going to tell us a little bit about her journey as well. But the other day I said, Becky, what I'd love for you to do, and I know you've had lots of twists and turns in your life, but I'd like you just to find a pen and stick it in the life map of your life, or if you will, the highway of your life, and tell us a story. And man, you went right to one story in particular. I didn't have to prompt it at all. Can you just reiterate that story and tell us a little bit about that, where that journey began?
Sure. The story that came to mind was on Mother's Day of 2021, so May of 2021, I was really struggling on that Mother's Day and just having a hard night. I'd had lots of hard Mother's Days, but this one seemed really hard. I had just returned from a trip with my best friend who had a baby, and there were just lots of things that felt a little off that year. And I was crying to my husband, and he said, "I don't know what's going to happen, but I promise you, this is the last Mother's Day that you're going to feel this way." And then 1 year later on Mother's Day, I had not one, but two babies in my care. And the next Mother's Day after that, I had three babies in my care.
Okay. So this is, now, he's not really a prophet, but in this case, he sure lived as one, didn't he?
He did.
Oh my goodness. That had to be, well, okay. So you need to take us back then, because obviously, on Mother's Day of 2021, this journey, this uncommon mom journey, had not even begun. So in a year's time, your life was turned upside down. I've got to hear that part of the story too.
So it started in that year. We had just seen fertility doctors for the first time. We had been, married for, 15-ish years, together for 20 some years. We were high school sweethearts. So, but we had only just decided to see a fertility doctor, and essentially found out that it was a lot of things needed to happen, and it was still a maybe. A lot of expensive things, a lot of uncomfortable things, for both of us, for a big fat maybe.
Yeah.
And it just really, to us, felt like, no, that doesn't feel like our path, to being parents. And maybe, and over the years we had had, other things that had complicated our road to becoming parents. I struggled with alcohol abuse for a while. And in that time that Jordan and I had spoken in Mother's Day 2021, I had been sober for 2 years at that point.
Wow.
So we were really, things felt good, and it felt like something was missing. And so really, we, not long after, I said, "What do you think about fostering?" And he said, "Let's look into it." And so I Googled, fostering agencies, and we talked to the first one that came up and the first one that called us back, who called us back immediately. We had a Zoom meeting, and they said, "Yes, we want you to be foster parents," almost
oh,
immediately.
My goodness.
We went with adult and child foster care. And what we also found out about them quickly was that They specialize in high trauma kids, kids that have been in the system a long time, have been moved around a lot, have high needs. So we had to do a, we had a, we were a traumatic, what was our foster license called? We were licensed for trauma foster care, which is a different license than a regular license. And we decided to go through with it because we felt like, okay, maybe God has a purpose in this. And this is who we talked to. And so we said, okay, we're probably going to do older kids. And we talked about it a lot. Is this something we think we want? And I really felt like as I was approaching 40, I thought, you know, I think I've grieved the baby thing. And
Wow.
I think I've grieved it. And I don't really want to do a baby. Like newborns are kind of scary anyway. You know, I'm pushing 40. It's, I think maybe this is a better path for us. And we, it's just us, and we have the time and the patience to dedicate to a high needs kid, and we have the love to share. And so we really went into it thinking that that's what we were getting into. And we were licensed about a little over 90 days later, about 100 days later. And we started getting calls within 12 hours of our license going through.
No
And we said,
way. Is
yeah.
that indicative of how urgent the need is in foster care?
Yes. There are so many kids that need homes. You know, I believe that in Indiana, it's, you know, it's over 350,000 kids in Indiana, or not in Indiana, sorry, in the United States. And there's, I think, 20 some thousand in Indiana,
Wow.
but it's a real, you know, it's a very big issue, and it's a hard thing to do. And I know, not everybody thinks that they can do it, but like what we've told everyone that we talk to, we're just regular people, you know, and we have loved it. We had loved to share, and we have loved to share, and that's what. And with God's help, we knew we could get through it. And
So
that's what.
you got a call fairly early. I mean, just moments after your application was approved and everything. What takes place there? How does this happen? And especially, I guess, tailor it now to what took place in your lives.
Sure. We got two calls the first day, and we said yes to both. They give you a call first. The agency calls you, and they say, they really give you very little information, whether, you know, they give you gender, age. You can ask some questions. Sometimes they don't have the answers to that question. The first two calls that we got, we said yes to, and we were called fairly shortly after saying they went to another home because it sends out this kind of balloon reach. So kids come into the system, and then the, you know, a signal goes out like, here are these kids that need a home. And so then they, all the foster parents that say yes, then they look at their file and say, is this a fit? That's, you know, that is the best case scenario. That's what they're hoping for, is the best fit to find several foster families that say yes. And they go, okay, what are the dynamics and what's the best fit? And so both of those calls ended up going to other foster families, not to us. And so then we had, that was on a Friday morning. And we had the weekend, and we did not get calls over the weekend. And then Monday morning, we got a call for a 5-year-old who was on the autism spectrum. And we knew he would have to be transported from Southern Indiana. And
Wow.
so we said yes to him about, it was about 10 o'clock in the morning. And then we just waited. And about 6 o'clock, Jordan said to me, Jordan's my husband, he said to me, I don't think I'm going to go to Bible study tonight, because he typically had a Monday night Bible study that he went to at 6:30. And I said, the office is closed. He's not coming tonight. Somebody would have called us. I don't think, you know, but we hadn't heard anything from anyone. I said, go to your Bible study. It's fine. Just, I don't think he's coming tonight, honey. You know, I'll call you if they call, but. He said, I just would feel better if I stayed home. And not 3 seconds later, my phone starts ringing. And it's our agency. And she said, "I have a 9-month-old baby. He's on his way to your house." I
Whoa.
said, "She said, I said yes for you." And I said, "What?"
I'm sorry. That's that, I don't know that that's funny. It's just staggeringly whoa.
She said, "I said yes for you. He'll be there in 30 minutes. DCS Transport is bringing him. He'll be there in 30 minutes." And I said, "What about the 5-year-old?" And she said, "I don't, what are you talking about?" "We said yes to a 5-year-old." She said, "Well, he might still be coming, so get ready."
Oh my goodness.
So 30 minutes. So we sounded the alarms with, the family, and my sister-in-law came over to be on hand for a Target run once we kind of figured out what we needed, because we had not prepared anything for a baby.
Oh, that's
We
right. Yes.
had I had big bins of clothing for 2-year-old to 10-year-old because that was the age range we told them we would take. And so I had pajamas and a couple items of clothes for all of those age ranges that I had collected, and but nothing for babies.
And there's a
But we
9-month-old coming in now 20 minutes. I
yeah
mean, the clock is just ticking very quickly.
yes And my sister-in-law, but my brother had actually called me the night before and asked me, "Do you want all these?" I ran into this guy we used to know. He asked what you were up to. I told him you guys were getting licensed. And he said, "Oh, we're getting rid of all this baby clothes. Do you want this baby stuff? Does she want this baby stuff?" And I said, "Oh, no. Tell him thank you, but we don't need it." So I called my brother. I said, "Peter, can you get a hold of that guy? We need the baby stuff." And they sent car seats, because we had ordered a car seat that had not been delivered yet, just to have on hand, but it was not, it had been ordered. It wasn't due for another week or so. But it was trash bags full of 9-month-old baby clothes, just everything that you could possibly need, just fully stocked. All the bottles, everything for the baby, that they sent it all, and we needed it all. And it was just that in itself was kind of its own miracle. And so we sat there and we waited for the car to pull up. We had our front door open, just looking through the glass storm door. And they pulled into the parking lot of our townhome complex, and it was a DCS worker, and she got the baby carrier out of the car and she handed it to us. And she handed us a piece of paper, and we said, "Do you want to come in?" And she said, "Nope." So she literally just handed us a baby with a piece of paper and drove away. And
Oh my goodness.
was it. He had nothing else.
A little
She did give us,
boy
yeah.
and literally nothing else to his name. And
No.
Becky, I'm just overwhelmed. If you see me tearing up the whole time, okay? I'm a crier anyway, and this just really touches my heart because I know you hadn't planned on this, and I know this is an uncommon moment, okay? But I just can't imagine how I can't imagine stepping into your shoes, but I know that he doesn't maybe cognitively be aware of the moment, but still, there's a trauma there in his little life right now, isn't there? You don't even know any of his history at this point, do you?
At that point, no, we didn't. We had no idea what happened that night. It was an after-hours emergency call.
Okay.
So it was, the offices were closed. It was the police calling DCS at an emergency level to remove a child. And so, yeah, we just looked at his little face and didn't know what he had just come from and what. Yeah. So
Hey,
we had no.
thanks for sharing that it was an emergency situation. The police had been involved. Taken a child out of a dangerous situation then and placed him in the D with DCS, and then that's how you became involved. We needed that. We needed that to understand this moment. So you got 9-month-old clothing.
Yes. And Jordan built a crib in 20 minutes. Because we did have a crib. We just didn't build it because we didn't think we were going to need a crib for a 5-year-old. So so he got the crib built, and it was just a whirlwind of a night. He slept through the night, 10 hours that night, and we couldn't believe it. We didn't sleep that much, but he did. And and he was a great, great sleeper. And it took a while before we started to get even contact from DCS about, I mean, it was days went by and we didn't hear from anybody. And they kept saying, well, a caseworker will contact you. A caseworker will contact you. And we were kind of like, do they know he's here? Like, no one is. You know, this, they just threw a baby at us in a parking lot and then we don't hear from anybody.
Now, name, his name?
His name is Colton.
And that's
and he
the,
is,
was that his given name or is that the
that
name?
That was his
that,
given name, yes.
Okay, Colton.
His given first name, yes.
Okay. And so Colton now is in your home, but most people get 9 months to adjust to the idea. Okay. You didn't even get 9 days. Okay. I just counted them up. You're not even on day 9 in this whole process. And how do you do this when a hurricane hits you like this? What are some of the emotions? Do you start to question your sanity in this? I mean, seriously, what are some of the emotions that you go through when suddenly the Colton is there with you?
Oh my goodness. Well, first and foremost, it was just overwhelming love. Like he was just the sweetest little being. And all I could, you know, I just wanted to wrap him up and never let him go. But also, you go through the emotions of knowing that you signed up for a job, that the job is reunification comes first. And reunification is always going to come first with the system, regardless of your opinions or your feelings. And to always have that in the back of your mind is difficult.
Yes.
Because when you do start to learn things, it becomes even more difficult. You start to learn his history and start to learn, you know, and I'll say that we had a lot of conversations, Jordan and I did before, as we were getting licensed, about how are we going to do this? If, you know, because we're going all in.
You do. You and Jordan always do. You don't know a 50%, do you?
Not the two of us together, no.
No.
But how do we do it? And, you know, I will say something that Jordan, what he has said is that in every relationship, you know, loss is a part of it. And, you know, regardless of how that loss comes, whether it's death or a separation or, you know, they're all different ways, but every relationship comes with a loss. And if you live your life being afraid of that loss, you know, he said, I wouldn't have a marriage. I wouldn't have, you know, if I was just afraid of you dying someday, you know, I wouldn't give my all in a relationship. And in a relationship, why would you not give your all, even if there's a loss at the end?
And there is such tremendous wisdom in that moment there, because fear of loss doesn't hold us back from loving lavishly and with all of our hearts. It didn't hold you back then from starting to love Colton unconditionally, which is what Colton needed more than anything else at this moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you find out in the next few days and weeks, Colton's history and background. Does it make you mad? Okay, we're just going to get gut level. And hey, if I ever ask a question that you don't want to answer, that's okay. And if I ever cross a line that is there that I cannot ask, please feel free, just stop me. But did you get angry about what he had gone through at 9 months old?
Yes. And I would say it's still to this day, there are times that I feel angry about what my kids went through, regardless of how long it was. And I don't, you know, I don't, and I don't even know everything. And a lot of it I didn't find out until a long time had passed. Things like the police report we didn't get until after the adoption. But we also started off with the first conversation that we had with the biological parents, really to us sounded like they were motivated and they were going to do what they needed to do. And we told our family, don't get attached because, you know, I mean, love him, but he's likely, just be aware that he's likely only going to be with us for about 90 days because we think that they are motivated, they're going to get their act together. He'll probably be back home within 90 days. That's really what we thought. And so we really went into it thinking they're going to do it. That's great. And we told them that. You know, our goal is to take something off your plate so you can do what you need to do.
Yes.
Your child is going to be loved in our home. Your child is going to be cared for in our home. That's something you don't have to worry about right now. Right now, you need to focus on getting yourself well. Focus on getting your life well. We believe people can change. We know people can change. Do what you need to do, and your baby's loved. We're not trying to steal your baby. We're not, but we are going to love your baby. And we said all those things to them. And it wasn't, you know, until longer in the process, about 60 to 90 days in, they stopped having contact with DCS, and so they went MIA. So we just didn't, at that point, we didn't know what to think.
Because they could step back into the process at any point. So now you're held in this abeyance, in this land of not knowing at all.
Right. And we were aware that mom was pregnant. We found out, I don't know, a couple of months in that we found out mom was pregnant. And so we kind of thought they had gone off the map to try to avoid DCS in that and with that pregnancy. But Colton had been with us for about 5 months when we got the phone call from DCS that said, there's a baby girl in the NICU. It's Colton's sister. Would you guys be willing to take her? DCS is taking custody when she's released from the hospital. Would you be willing to take her into your home as well? And for us, it was kind of a no-brainer. It was a shock, but because we hadn't heard from anybody, we just didn't know what. It was a shock, but it was also a no-brainer. And so we said, yeah, absolutely. And so there, so then there was our second for that Mother's Day. Alana came home from the hospital. So we
Now
had
wait.
two. So that
How far into that year are we then? We're almost to that point, aren't we?
yeah.
That Jordan's declaration came true by two.
Yeah.
Now, were you able to visit in the NICU or anything, or no?
We had been given access. She was released about 48 hours after we were able to get access through the courts and through DCS. But she had been, once the biological parents found out DCS was investigating, they took off and essentially abandoned her at the hospital. So she was on her own in the NICU for like 13 days, I think,
And
before we were able to see her.
is, if you can say, is she detoxing as a as an infant?
She was not,
She
actually.
was not.
She
Okay.
was not. She was just born very premature.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I just wondered what the conditions were there. Okay, so now we have two.
Now we have two.
Okay, and her name is
Her name is Alana.
Alana. And
Yes.
I've had the privilege of meeting Colton and Alana, and we'll stop there, okay? And seeing the life that she has. Oh my goodness. She brings, when she walks in the room lights up. And if it doesn't, she's going to turn them on. So now, Becky, tell us about motherhood, because now this is a whole different thing, and you're still caught in limbo, though, right?
Right. They are still, so they, about a month after Alana had been released from the hospital, they contacted DCS again, the parents did, wanting to start visits. So we start over. They had been saying they were trying to fight the case in general, but now they realize that they've got two cases against them, and shortly after it was found that they were not going to win any thing against DCS or their case. So they decided to start working with DCS. And in that year, it was just a big up and down. So we would have we have these team meetings once a month, and it would be we'd have a meeting where they showed up to their classes that they were supposed to take, because there were things, we had domestic violence, addiction, kind of across the board. There was housing insecurity. There was most of the things that you can imagine having a child removed for were all issues in this case, except for physical abuse. There was not physical abuse involved. And then we'd find out that they'd been showing up to all of their meetings and going, and we would encourage them and tell them how proud of them we were. And then we get off the phone and go, oh, what does this mean? And so every time you kind of imagine what does this mean? What's it going to be? And for me throughout it, I just my prayer over and over and over again, I just said, God, you know my heart. You know what my heart wants. But if that is not your will, if you're, I'm gonna need you to help me get through it. And that was all that I could, that's all I could pray was that that's, and that's all I could trust. It was that I trusted, all the things that God has brought me through. I did, and I do fully trust that God had, that God was there and that it was going to be okay. Painful.
Yeah.
Yes. But we were going to get through it. And I knew that my husband shared the same faith and prayer as I did, and that we would get through it together, and we were going to love these babies for every day that we had them, every moment that we had them. And
Are you telling me that when you say, you know my heart, your heart was leaning into adoption at this point? You would have wanted, in any, if there was any way possible to adopt them then?
yes, I mean, if it was. Yes.
I understand the complication of that, yes.
It's a complicated thing. But knowing that there's also trauma that comes with the adoption.
Couldn't you think of that?
And also knowing that I have to answer to my kids someday too. And so to know that I can also say we encouraged and did everything we could, to help your biological parents stay and be on the right track, and for them to get it together, for you to be with them, and that was our, that was also our prayer that they would get it together. But it's hard when you see that they're not, and then it's, the next month it's there's police involvement and there's all kinds of other things again. And so it just makes you go, what?
Well, in your heart stays in this emotional roller coaster. Becky, help us out then. How long Do you sit here waiting to find which way the pendulum will swing?
Well, in our case, we ended up adopting Colton and Alana together. Their cases were they merged their case together. And so we adopted them in December of 2023. So September of 2021 to December of 2023. So 2 years, a little over 2 years. That.
The thing that I'm stuck with in those moments is this, is that you were waiting and your heart is leaning into the adoption at the same time. You're having to keep holding on to what Jordan had said early on, is that we're not going to live in fear. We're just going to love in the light here. And so you just kept surrounding these kids with love. And of course, so many people have had a ringside seat on this, okay? First of all, because you're a famous poster, okay? You post for a long time, their faces were blurred out and we couldn't meet them officially, but we saw their life and what they were being surrounded with. I'm going to ask you kind of a twist, a little bit of a twist though. What does your heart do? And well, let me back up and ask it a little bit different. How do you have the kids address you? What do they call you in these moments of waiting? And how does that work? I'm asking out of ignorance because I just don't know how that works.
For us, we were mama and papa, and we reserved mommy and daddy for when they went on visits with their biological parents. So that seemed to work for us because we were, as they're infants, they don't know, and especially as they start to become toddlers, and everybody assumes you're their parent. If you go, they'll go, oh, you're mommy, and it's so it for us, what worked best was mama and papa. And that's what they still call us, mama and papa, usually.
When they first said those words, though, where did your heart go? What happens
Like,
to Becky? Do you
what?
just, yeah, exactly.
Melted into a million pieces, like, pick me up off the
Oh my goodness.
floor.
Because I know, Becky, that you never reserve. You're all in, like we said earlier. And to hear those words that said they're all in too. That's one of those moments, isn't it? Oh, what seemed like the impossible now has become the reality. And now you're nurturing these two little ones. And you're not done with surprises, though. Timeline us here. Help us understand the next surprise and when it takes place.
Well, before their adoption, before Colton and Alana were adopted, Braxton was born in April of 2023. And just a reminder, there, sorry, March of 2023. He came home in April of 2023. March of 2023. Alana was born in March of 2022.
Okay.
So they are 12 months and 2 weeks apart. And Braxton is their full biological sibling as well, both mom and dad. And
Wow.
so we got a call that said, there's a baby in the NICU, which we actually knew. At this point, we had nurtured enough the relationship with biological parents that they had requested, they sent a picture of Braxton to the DCS worker and said, can you please send this to Becky and Jordan?
No way.
Because we did not
No.
have each other's phone numbers at that point. We couldn't
Yeah.
communicate with each other outside of the court system. And so we found out that he was born because dad wanted us to see his picture. So we had, and that was they hadn't, I don't believe that they had signed the adoption agreement at that point. Their case was still ongoing with Colton and Alana. They signed the adoption agreement in June of that year. So they decided we are no longer going to pretend to try with the court system for these two children, and we're signing our rights away to Becky and Jordan. And so then that process takes a few months after they've, signed it. So we didn't adopt them until December, but we had all three of them with us when Colton and Alana were adopted. Braxton was 9 months old at that point.
And when you see Braxton for the very first time in that picture, do you go, oh, he's got Alana's nose? Or do you pick out the characteristics of the other kids and start to compare how these siblings are completely different, but definitely part of one another's lives?
Absolutely, absolutely. And they all look like siblings. They very much look like siblings, and they did as infants as well. Yeah, it's you see them and you say, oh. And that's what, Braxton's shape of his head is like Alana's, but the boys both have the same color eyes, and Alana has different eye, bright blue eyes. And that's difficult in that there is another new baby that was born in last fall. And so we've seen pictures of the new baby that also look like my three kids.
Oh, wait, I guess I wasn't tracking with you for a moment, Becky. So there's four children. You have
There's
three. And they're not, thus far, they've not had a run-in with DCS, and thus far they're not looking for adopting out this child. Am I hearing you right?
Correct. He is, yes, this baby is still with the biological parents at this point. And he is about 7 months old now. He would be about. So, and we have not met him, but we've seen pictures, and he's a full sibling to our three babies. So it's a that in itself has its own
So dynamic, and
dynamic, yeah.
so have the parents, because you decided to willingly go into an open adoption if that's what the biological parents wanted, which was a very brave thing given your experiences here. Have they continued to want to be a part in that open adoption? Have they indicated any resolution to or resolve, I should say, to being a part of these kids' lives?
Not fully. We've seen them, I think, three times in the last year and a half. And we've done maybe three or four video calls. But currently that happened earlier on after the adoptions. We have not actually seen or done a video call with them since September, I think, of last year. At this point, we are in contact
Wow.
with them sporadically, but it's just kind of when we hear from them and when they request. And we always, when they've requested to see them, we always say yes. We just don't usually tell the kids because it's typically canceled. So they've requested several visits. They'll reach out and they'll request a visit, but typically it doesn't come to fruition.
Becky, I have to admit, I find my heart wandering in a lot of different directions. And when I say my heart, all of the emotions. And I know that you and Jordan both wear your emotions on your sleeve. Sometimes that leads to the hurt, but more than often it leads to a good things, because when we are willing to risk and we're willing to love with our hearts on our sleeves, then we get to reap so much in return, if you will. Not that it's about the return, but that's part of the process. But You're in a position now where you can speak into the lives of a lot of different people. And in fact, I want you to do just that, just for a moment, because I want you to take a chance to open up and say, you know, how they might enter this vast need of fostering. And, you know, I don't even know whether you knew this, Becky, but my brother and sister-in-law fostered for many years, and they fostered in a lot of different situations. And in one case, they had a foster child for several years, 4 plus years. And then that little girl was taken from, I'm going to say us, because that's the way we all felt, you know. We all had invested ourselves in, and I know the Becky's maiden name is Bloomquist, and so I know the Bloomquist clan invested themselves in this as well.
Yes.
But you would say to those who might right now maybe say yes to fostering, what would you say to them? Or how can you encourage this, even in light of all that you know?
I think that these little lives are worth every single tear that comes from us, and giving them the safety and the security that they deserve, that they were not given for one reason or another, for through no fault of their own. That when you have so much and you have so much love, you have so much, there are so many resources available. And even, in this time, everyone, there's a lot of people struggling. But don't let that stop you from fostering, because your community will come alongside you also. We couldn't have done it without, I mean, it just wouldn't have been the same without the community. And you're just always surprised how many people want to be your community, want to help, and are gonna help you love these babies that deserve it, and that you can lift them up and make a difference in a kid's life just by loving them.
You know, Becky, I love this very large piece of community involved in this because, you know, not everyone will foster individually, but they can come alongside as a team and in community so that that child never walks alone in this. They recognize that they are loved from foster aunts and foster grandparents and foster friends and foster family members all the way out. They are part of this envelope that just surrounds them. I love that you cast it in terms of community, and that's because I know that some, as soon as you start talking about fostering, they say, oh, that's a box I don't have to enter into. And I'm going to say, no, you do. In one fashion, in one form or another, you have to enter into this as well, into this community of foster care. Oh, Becky, thank you so very, very, very much. Now, I don't want to, I if there's one thing that you needed to add, I want to give you that opportunity, but I also want to thank you for being so vulnerable. And I always feel like there's another part of the story yet to be told. And that's why at Story Mosaics, we believe that everyone has a story. They're just waiting to be told, and not just one, but many stories. And we've had the privilege of getting so many fantastic guests on who have burned their heart. They've not done it without reserve so that we might become a better community around. Anything else you need to add?
Just no, I'm just happy to talk with you, and
Oh.
thank you for asking me to be part of this. And becoming a mom has been the greatest gift of my entire life. And if I wouldn't have said yes, I wouldn't have. It's not what I thought it would be. We thought we were going down a different road. And I will also say that about foster care. expect the unexpected. And that's, what you think you want or what you think you need. Expect the unexpected and be open to that, because your life is going to be blessed from that. Me saying, I don't need babies. Newborns are hard.
And that's what makes it an uncommon mom. Hey, if anybody out there wants to get in touch with us, or you want to get a message to Becky, but I don't give out her email address, but you can send a note to story.mosaics1, story.mosaics1@gmail.com. I'll pass any of those messages along to her. And, or if you just want to thank her for what she's done here in this, Becky, hey, thanks so much. And we'll talk to you soon. And thank you for all those who joined us as well.